Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Jordan Fowler, who is the founder of Moon and Owl Marketing in Fort Worth, Texas. Moon and Owl is a digital agency with a focus on SEO, along with brand messaging, content marketing, and site design. They work with both international and regional brands, helping them show radical empathy for their customers' problems and possibilities. Today, we're going to be discussing Jordan's journey as an entrepreneur and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Jordan.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what really inspires and motivates you as an entrepreneur?
I think it really is our mantra for ourselves and our client is help people solve a problem or seize a possibility while doing it with radical empathy. And so from my background before I started digital marketing, I was actually like in the ministry, a pastor. So helping people is a big part of my heart. And that's what really drives us at the end of the day is to like, what's your problem? Let's see if we can help you solve it. Or, oh, you have this giant possibility you can seize out there. Let's help you go get it. So when I wake up, what drives me every single day.
Yeah. And you know, that's a trend I've been noticing more and more entrepreneurs are incorporating that into their businesses. And I've definitely noticed that with a lot of my podcast guests who have come on recently. There's just more of that emphasis on just trying to do good in the world and you know, put the best work out possible, really make a positive impact on the lives of their customers and their team members. So it's really cool to see.
Yeah. And I think it's just important because people like, look, we're narcissistic, right? Everybody's got a little bit of that going on. And so the radical empathy piece comes in is because people don't know as an agency or a business or someone else, like they don't really even know you're out there. They're not thinking about you. They're just locked into this world of this is my problem. How do I solve it? This is my problem. How do I solve it? Right.
Yeah.
And so when we can come in and basically express what we do or what one of our clients does for them, where they almost think they've walked in my shoes, like they really haven't, but it's just this radical empathy of we understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. It's like a light bulb goes off in their head and they're like, oh, these people can help me. Like they create value for me.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And then how did you get into digital marketing originally?
Well, I was served as a communication director of a really large nonprofit. So my background's a little interesting of the journey I took. So I came into a different agency, not the one I own, but as an executive account manager for an agency that did all medical, and it was really small and it was soup to nuts. So when you got a client on board, you had to bring them on board. You had to do their budget. You had to make the marketing plan. You had to do the media buy. You had to write the content and have the creative speed edit, you know, do the graphics for it. And then you had to invoice, track everything. So
wow.
The beautiful thing about that was I learned how to run a client, you know, from front to back 100% because we were so small. But yet we had some of the biggest medical clients in the US. So that was a little big learning curve for me. The first time I had to go do a TV buy or a radio buy or, you know, a digital buy. And so I was there for about 3 years and I just got tired of doing, we were specifically in one niche of medical. I got tired of just doing the same thing over and over again. And so I decided I was going to start my own agency. And so we did that to be more diversified. Now we still have a very large portfolio of medical clients, particularly in search engine optimization. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I just, after I left Miller, I started Moon and Al, and we've been around about 7 years now, and love it. I'm not the entrepreneurial personality. Like, I am a salary personality, right? Steady, stable. But just the way things shook out when I left Miller, I didn't even know if I was going to start an agency or just go work somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm on 100% commission per se now. I am not that high risk, you know, prone entrepreneur personality. That is not me. So this has been a learning curve for me and a trust and faith curve in my, you know, personal spiritual life for me to be able to walk through that and be like, okay, let's see what happens this month.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So tell me a little bit more about Moon and Al, and like, how do you guys differentiate yourselves from other agencies? What makes you guys unique?
I think, well, our foundation is unique in the terms of when we come to a client or we have a meeting with a client, we try to not start with us, right? Like, everybody's like, well, we can do this for you and we can do that. We really try to start by listening first and saying, again, what are your biggest challenges and problems, right? What's a headache for you? What are you going to bed thinking about and waking up in the morning thinking about? Or what is that opportunity for exponential growth that's out there, but you're just like, man, we barely have time to do what we do now. I don't know how we're going to go seize that.
Right.
And so we really listen first. And in fact, we have a whole process we do with the client called the Lucid process. That's kind of an onboarding process where we really get to, we set, you know, what does success look like 2 years from now, externally, internally, revenue, and even for you as an owner personally, because they have some personal aspirations. I'd like to spend more time at home with my kids, or I'd like to, you know, whatever those are. And then we just kind of move through this process with them. And everybody we've done that with has told us, it felt like I had a jigsaw puzzle on the table with 1,000 pieces. But mm-hmm. after this process, it feels like the puzzle, at least have the box top to know what the puzzle should look like. And now you can help me put the pieces together. So I think starting there with kind of a messaging, branding, business development centric approach, rather than we can do this service for you, we can do that service for you, really helps us, because again, we're showing them radical empathy. And so then the trust is built, which then moves them into enlisting our services. So that's one of our key uniquenesses. Mm-hmm. Another of our key uniquenesses that's not unique anymore is we are one of the few, what I call a distributed agency. So I've always wanted to have the best people, not the coolest office, right? And so we don't have a central office. We, for years, have worked with, you know, if the best web dev guy is in Austin, Texas, I want him working for me, and I'm not going to make him move to Fort Worth from Austin. You know, Austin's cooler.
Yeah.
And so we were operating off, you know, Zoom and other platforms for years. Now, of course, with COVID, that's now kind of everyone's agency model. What was beautiful in the beginning years is it allowed me to keep the overhead extremely low. So our cash flow as an agency worked very well. We weren't limited because of, you know, huge overhead.
That's really nice. Awesome. And then so tell me a little bit more about the Lucid process that you do with your clients. So do you work through this framework together? Because I think it's such a great idea, just giving them that clarity of what their goals are and then working forward with them to be able to allow them to work towards those.
Yeah. So what's cool about that process is it really frames everything that we do. And here's the truth. You're going to have to do a lot of the stuff we do in the Lucid anyway. Like mm-hmm. if you're going to write a client's website, because we don't just say, we don't design a site and say, send us your copy. We want to have a hand in the copy so it converts. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to have to go through that exercise anyway to figure out what makes them different. Are they going to show radical empathy to their client or their patient or their potential customer? And so we were like, we're doing this anyway. Why don't we just put it together in a package? We actually charge for it. And so they walk away from the Lucid process able to answer some big questions. The first question they can answer is, what does success look like 24 months from now? Mm-hmm. The second question they can answer very clearly, because we do some transformational persona work. It's not really an avatar. It's more like, what is the motivation of a person who, you know, wants, for example, LASIK, right? Yes, they have a job to get done. They don't want to wear glasses and contacts, and they want, but they also want to enjoy their bike ride more. Or, and so we really can tap into those transformational, aspirational things in our content. So the second is, who are we trying to reach? The third is, how do we say what we do in a differentiating manner that shows them radical empathy? So again, when we try to write our website, there's not a lot of we and us on it. There's a lot of you and your, like, you'll experience this because we X, Y, Z. So we try to flip that script. And I always joke and say, a great way to see how well your website's written is do a command F on a page and type in we or I and see how many times that's on there. And then do a command F and type you and your. And if we and I are out, you know, are higher than you and your, you need to rewrite that page. So we message that way. And then the fourth part of it is we actually create the plan with them to get back to help them hit those four bullseyes of internal, external revenue and personal success 24 months from now. So the beautiful thing about that is now we're not just a marketing agency. Now we're actually like a biz dev partner, because what we found out is we'll send somebody the solicitor report. They get super excited about it. But the reason they haven't done these things that they know they should have done anyway is because the, you know, the tyranny of the mundane and the stuff they have to get done is there. And so it's not some huge report. We do 2 half-day sprints with their leadership team. So 2 4-hour blocks, and we're able to get what we need, go away, come back. But it allows us to, we're developing right now an integration portion where not only we can provide some of the services that came out of that marketing plan, but we, where we literally kind of embed to make sure that their messaging, their culture, everything is being integrated throughout that practice. So like, for example, one of our practices is a bariatric practice. So when we messaged them, the message that came out of that was, you know, basically one of their taglines is no shame, no guilt, because bariatric patients have been, you know, they're battling obesity. Generally, they've been beat up by their primary care physician, who's, you know, you got to lose weight, you got to lose weight.
Yeah.
And so that was important. Well, it's one thing to have that on your website. It's another thing to have that built into your culture so that when somebody walks up to the front desk, again, they don't really want to be there, but how are we going to help them experience no shame, you know, no judgment? Like, we are glad you are here. So now we have somebody that can come along. And of course, we charge for this piece too, so we can monetize it. But we really help them integrate that lucid process and what we discovered fully into their practice. So that's one arm of it, while simultaneously providing some of the services that came out of the lucid web design, SEO, AdWords, whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm. So it gives us 2 ways in.
Well, it's interesting because you do 2 4-hour sessions. So, you know, it's a good way to really feel a client out and see how invested they are. You know, if you're going to take that much time out of your day to invest into your marketing, you know, you're really invested. And I think that's a really great green flag for a potential client.
And we don't, that's, that process is not cheap, right? Like, there's value in that. So we make them put skin in the game monetarily, but also like time-wise. And we say we need undivided attention. Like, we will do this at 2 a.m. if you need to do it at 2 a.m, but we don't need you getting, you know, surgery phone calls or whatever in the middle of it. So we want to see the commitment to the process, because we know the more committed they are to the process, the better client they're going to be for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it makes so much sense. So what would you say are the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis, and how do you overcome those?
I'm probably the biggest challenge. we've grown, and I always want to stay lean. I never want to get staff heavy or out in front on staffing. So we work really hard. We're really small agency. So we use strategic partners for our web development. So a friend of mine is a strategic partner. So he's not a W-2 employee. He knows he needs to give us about X amount per time. So he's not really a freelancer. It's a weird, it's an in-between relationship. And then we'll help him write some of his sites that he gets. So, but lean wise, we're like a 3-person agency. We've got me, an account exec, and then somebody that does like the nuts and bolts pieces of it. And then mm-hmm. everyone else that comes alongside of us is a strategic partner. So our paid guy is a strategic partner, but we've worked together so much that it's almost like they are part of our agency and we're integrated, but I can keep my overhead low. Mm-hmm. But as a result of us being so lean, yeah, there's times that, you know, Hunter, our senior account exec's like, Jordan, I need this back for you. So we're fighting through that. We're fixing to expand and get like a pure content manager. I mean, I'm probably our number one problem as far as bottlenecking, and I'm trying to deal with that.
What are some ways that you are working to overcome that obstacle?
Well, like I said, we're going to hire a content manager that basically for every client runs the whole content protocol, because we do create ongoing content for our clients and in part right. of our SEO process.
Yep.
And so this person's going to literally track from keyword research. Here's the topic it needs to be on. We do a lot of entity page tuning. So they're mm-hmm. either going to work with the client's writers or we ghostwrite it ourselves and then add the schema to it, make sure it gets on the site, make sure it's interlinked connect. That'll be huge just to be able to where that's on autopilot for us.
Got it.
So that person is probably coming on this month, which will be really big. And then the other thing I'm doing is everything that I do now, I'd make a screenshot of me doing it, a video.
Nice.
And so we're creating a repository.
Yep.
And so I can literally say, hey, go do this for this client, link to the video. And, you know, really anybody that's not a complete goofball could really follow that and do it.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to really create simple standard SOPs for every task that we do.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great idea. Love it. So I'd love to pick your brain on a couple things. So I'd love to start off and just talking about sales to start. So what does sales currently look like within your agency, and how are you bringing on new clientele?
So sales really does look like referral for us mostly. Mm-hmm. We will get our site SEOs real well, and especially in our area. Mm-hmm. So we'll get calls. Generally, the calls we'll get off our website, though, they're looking for like, hey, I need a logo design. Hey, I need, you know, a website built. Hey, I need a, and that's not really where I want to be in our wheelhouse. I really want a relationship with a client, a little more holistic service with, you know, ongoing monthly retainer revenue from them, recurring yeah. revenue, because otherwise it's just, before we did some ongoing services, it was just, you know, a race, churn and burn, get a website done. Okay, where are we going to get the next one from?
Yeah.
And now we've really moved away from that. So our website helps us. I think it credentials us, but still the majority of things that we get is still word of mouth. Somebody will go through the Lucid process. You know, they're a CEO of a company and they'll be on a board of another company or no, again, they're like, you have to go through this. And so we'll go through the Lucid process. And generally, if we can get them into that process, we've got an ongoing long-term relationship with them.
Very interesting. And then, so once you have a prospect, you've determined it's someone you want to work with. What do you do if maybe they're dragging their feet a little bit or procrastinating?
So as far as the onboarding process with them, they already feel like they're on board after the Lucid. So we really don't have that foot dragging on like the execution of the scope of work. You know, it's generally going to be the things like the smaller things as we get going. Like it's going to be, we sent you this content. Can you approve it? Can you approve it? Can you approve it? Right. And they were just yeah. not getting back, but it's not, we don't really have that foot dragging on the front end. I think the Lucid process catalyzes them to be so excited that they're like, let's go. Like,
that's awesome.
I got a clear vision now. Let's hit the gas.
Yeah, so, totally. Very good. And then, so what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to deal with while growing your agency?
The biggest challenge. It's probably me not operating out of a scarcity mindset. Now that we've shifted to, like, my tendency is if somebody still calls me for a website, my brain's going, I can build this website for them, but we can get them on board. They'll stay with us. They can, you know, do monthly recurring. And so And I just like to help people. So out of that motive, I would still allow people to come in as a, you know, not the whole spectrum client. Mm-hmm. And then they would never turn into the whole spectrum client. And then I get mad at myself and frustrated to say, you should have known that wasn't going to work. They did not come in the right front door. They did not come in via the Lucid process. And so therefore they always want to be a one-off, you know, one-off service client. And that's not really what we want. And so for me, it's been to go, here, I have a friend that can help you do what you want done, that I'll do a really good job for you, but that's not who we are.
Mm-hmm. So you're just very focused on having that long-term working relationship. That's your ideal customer, your ideal client. And then you're going to be referring any of those smaller per project basis clients to someone else.
Right. Because if I have, like I always ask people, what's easier to manage, 100 pennies or 4 quarters on the table, right? With the small clients, I got 100 pennies, and the pennies take about as much time as the quarters to manage. I mean, anybody that's in agency work sometimes knows your smallest paying one-off is, you know, more of a drain on your energy than the bigger client. So
yeah.
I'd rather have a quarter than a penny any day in terms mm-hmm. of client relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have any tips for being more efficient and productive in your day-to-day?
I am very big on the getting things done model. And if something hits my head, and so I don't chase the rabbit down the rabbit hole, I have a spiral right here. This is my week.
Yeah.
I tried doing an E, I've tried Trello for this part of it, and it just doesn't work. If anything hits my head, or even Hunter says, hey, remember, we need to get this done, it hits that paper so that I can get it out of my mind loop and get back to what I am doing. And that's what, you know, getting things done is really big on closing the loop, where you're not sitting there going, oh, I can't forget this. Like it's captured. Okay. But I can get back to what I was doing.
So the second you get that information, you write it down so that you just make sure you don't forget it and you can ensure it gets done.
Yep. And on my spiral, basically have the client name and what the task is. And then I create a circle. And if the ball is totally in our court, I color the circle in all the way. If we sent them something, like if I get reminded, hey, so-and-so hasn't approved this article yet. Now the account manager's handling that, but I'll color in the second half of it to go, hey, the ball's in their court, but we still have to do something. We need to reach out, whatever. And then if it's not as important or we can't fully do it yet, then I'll color in the first half of the circle. And then it shows, hey, the ball's in our court, but we're not really ready to move on it. And it's just a really fast way for me to look down the page and be like, okay, these balls are in our court. And I can kind of prioritize. And then I've experimented with making the ball bigger if it's more of a priority and smaller, but I haven't really gone that far.
Yeah, that's interesting. No, I do something kind of similar. I highlight the really important tasks that I make sure I cannot miss. But I'm a combination between using Asana and then, just the good old fashioned pen and paper as well. Cause that's just the way my mind works. I like just having that to-do list right beside me. And then I can just constantly be checking things off as I go.
Well, and we've used every software there's used, cause sometimes we'll integrate with what our client uses. We tried to not do that as much because for a while we were using Kanban, Asana, Trello, Monday, and somebody else was using something else. And finally I was just like, look, we're going to use this one software for what we do, and you guys can figure out how to integrate it with your software. But like, it's killing us trying to run, you know, for every client has a different to-do software tracking. It was crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So what are your tips for maintaining really happy clients?
So my big deal is if there ever is a client breakdown, it's probably due to one of two things. One is we as an agency didn't set expectations well enough. Mm. And two is we weren't inspecting and reporting well enough along the way. So anytime a client's upset, I start with us. I'm like, not like, oh, they're a jerk. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. How did we miss communicating? Because if you think about almost every argument you have, whether you're married or whatever, is from a clashing set of assumptions, right? My wife has assumptions about, you know, this is how it's going to get done. I have assumptions about this is how it's going to get done. And because we didn't communicate those expectations clearly, so anytime there's conflict, the first thing I go to is, wait a minute, they had a different set of expectations than we did. How did we not communicate that as clearly as we should? And so I really try to go through and reframe it with them, but also to say, hey, next client, next time we start this piece of it, this is what we need to communicate to them so they don't have a false set of expectations. Yeah. Now, sometimes you'll communicate those expectations, they'll hear them, they'll say yes, and then they'll still add their expectations onto it, even though you told them, like, no, those weren't what we said was going to happen. But it really is. So my two big words that are always running through my head is expect and inspect. And that's with my staff too. Like, if my, one of my staff persons is struggling, the first thing I say is, you know, have I communicated the do they know what needs to be done on this, or did I leave them a little bit in the dark? So that's why they're not delivering what I need delivered. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So have you put processes in place now so you can start to prevent ensuring that there's not going to be a client breakdown at some point, and that you can be managing those expectations very clearly right from the start?
Yes. So one of the unique things is the way we report. So our reporting, like a lot of, we do a lot of SEO, and a lot of SEO, the first thing they'll put in front of you is a ranking report. Well, if you rank number one, but you're not making revenue from organic, you're going to go out of business. So we try to start, our report basically starts as close to the pocketbook as we can get. So if it's an e-com site, here's how much you made from organic traffic this much. If we're doing their AdWords, here's how much you made from paid. Here's your ROAS, all that kind of stuff. And then as you move down the page, it gets like less and less, it's important, but less and less directly tied to that revenue. So in that way, what we don't get lost in is, hey, this one keyword we really like, we fell two spots on. Okay, cool. Get it. We'll look at that. But your revenue's up from organic, you know, $50,000 this month. So let's keep the main thing the main thing. And it just, yeah, it keeps them from kind of getting, like, if they trust us that we're growing their revenue, they'll take their hands off a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah, that makes so much sense. You're really speaking their language and helping them to stay focused on their goal, basically, from the start.
Yeah. Now, we are, one thing that makes us different than a lot of SEO agencies, if you ask them what you're doing, they'll say that's proprietary. We can't tell you that's proprietary. That's why we got into SEO. I did not do SEO at first when we launched. Mm-hmm. But we had to fire like four SEO agencies that we had hired to work alongside a client while we did their content and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was always like, we can't tell you what you were doing. You know, it's top secret. And then the algo would change and they would lose ranking and we'd have to fire them. And my clients kept coming to me saying, Jordan, we trust you. Why can't you do the SEO? And I'm like, because I don't want to do SEO. Like, it's snake oilsy. And they just kept begging and begging. And finally, like, okay, if we're going to do it, my theory is always, we're going to do stuff based off first principles of how I know Google works. So I went in and read patents. I studied how knowledge graphs work and nodes, because I didn't want to do SEO by analogy. I wanted to do it based on first principles. And we still to this day kind of operate. So we do SEO very different than a lot of other places would, where they just call SEO like, well, we kept your site clean. No, we're working on, like, what's huge right now is topical named entities in search. And now that Google's shifted to natural language processing and artificial intelligence. So we want to be right on top of that. And we want to be one of the leading thinkers in that as Google makes that shift away from. So keywords, not as important anymore. Topics, topic clusters, super important. We know that. And so we want to stay on the front edge of that cusp.
I love that. Well, we're going to be wrapping up here shortly. Is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners before we begin wrapping up?
I think you'd ask me about the name Moon and Owl. We get a lot of questions about it. And one of the questions, so people are always like, that's a weird name. So I actually started Moon and Owl when I was at the previous agency. Like I said, we were exclusively medical, but I had people that would come to me that knew me from my past and or come to the agency that weren't medical. And my CEO at that agency said, look, if I only want to do medical. If they're not medical, you can take them. So I found some other guys that also worked at big agencies during the day. And like one guy did beverage design all day long. I mean, morning to night, right? And he wanted to do something different. So I could come to him with a different type client and say, hey, would you like to moonlight this? Because I was moonlighting these clients. So hence the name Moon and Owl. Everything was moonlit, right? We were doing it all after hours, but we could give them a very low rate because we had no overhead at that point. Right. And of course, we expanded. I started the agency. We kept the name and stuck by then. And so we just kept it.
Oh, I love it. That's such a cool story. And then where do you see Moon and Owl in 5 years' time?
I think we'll have a consistent process of Lucid to web redo, messaging redo, to integration, to then providing the services that we discovered were needed in Lucid, and just really to keep repeating that process. And then to help a client after we hit those 2-year goals to go, okay, 2 years from now what is our success metric, you know, digitally and holistically? Okay, their mission statement isn't ever just stable. Like a lot of people have a mission statement that's just posted on a wall. No, the mission is we're going to make like X revenue by this date because we are unique in this way. Well, once we hit that goal, it's time to, you need a new mission statement. Like mission statements don't have to be eternal. Like we were Storm Normandy, right? Beach, that was a mission statement. Yeah. So I think by doing that and reframing success every 2 years, they won't be like, this is on autoplay. What are we even paying these guys for? No, we now have a new target we are helping you hit. And so that target will get reevaluated every 2 years with them. Hopefully that'll just result in, you know, incredibly high, which we do have, client retention rate. So that's where I see us in 5 years, just doing that, you know, with more clients.
Yeah. Oh, I love that 2-year strategy. I think that's so smart. And it really, like you said, it just gets your clients excited about working towards the future, meeting those goals, and working with you guys as a partner.
Yep.
So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I think the biggest one is Zag by Marty Neumeier. Anything he wrote, he's still one of the best brand thinkers around. So anything Marty Neumeier writes, we read.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
So I'm pretty much, my morning routine is, where is the button on the Nespresso machine? I am not a morning person. My wife is. She's an elementary school counselor. And so she's up and at 'em and cheery. And I'm just like, oh, I need coffee. I'm definitely, I'll get up, drink my coffee. You know, for me, my faith's important to me. I'll read the Bible. But I am not a morning person. Mornings for mundane tasks. You want me fresh. You want something creative. It needs to be after about noon.
Interesting. Got it. Very good. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There's not really one. I'm a big fan of NPR's How I Built This. And so I try to go in and listen to those CEOs and business starters and go, okay, what can I take from this? So it's not really one. It's more of a plethora of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that the How I Built This podcast that you're referring to?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I like Love that it. Too. I just listened to the story on Instagram and it's such an interesting story.
Yeah. It's a great podcast.
Absolutely. And what is your favorite online tool?
I think probably in the SEO, because we're so into SEO, Dixon Jones has a tool called InLinks. And it really helps with understand how topical relevance connects to content. So for all our content, we're very heavy on entity tuning, mm-hmm. and that software is the best. You know, it's called InLinks. It's fairly new and it's probably the best out there for topical research.
Perfect. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Well, I was a geopolitics undergrad with a master's in theology who toured as a musician and then served as a teaching pastor. So my answer is going to be pretty weird, right? through those roles, I was always communicating, but not necessarily doing marketing. But now that I've slowed down to think about it, it really is still, the whole spectrum is the same thing. It's again, if you can help people solve their problem or seize a possibility while showing them radical empathy, you'll have contributed value to others and then you'll become valuable yourself in their process. And so that's just, I don't have a tattoo. If I got a tattoo, it would say that. That's a long tattoo, but that really is core to who we are.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jordan. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and I really enjoyed our chat.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.